Today is Thursday, June the 18th, 1998. This is an interview with Reverend Douglas Woods, and the interviewer is Irma Bryan. And we're talking about the trip to St. John.
The trip to St. John, and I remember Dad taking us to the Royal Hotel for dinner. And we thought we were the most important people in the world, going upstairs in the old Royal Hotel, white linen cloths and white napkins, and about four forks and four spoons and four knives. He didn't know which to use first. I don't know why he picked that, but he said, well, might as well go for it. And I can remember doing that several times, once a year. And the meal was delicious. And I remember one time, the waitress came over and spoke to Dad. She said, today, everything is free. It was one of those special days. And it was wonderful. So I said, will we order up? He said, yeah, go for it. So we ordered up, and the bill came, nothing. You know, it was courtesy of the management and so forth. I can always remember that. So on the way out, I said to Dad, I hope you gave her a good tip for telling us. He said, oh, my soul, I better go back and give her something. And though that was something. But that hotel, with its finery and you know, was first class in those days, and it was really a royal treat, you know, for sure. That would be one of the high points I can remember of our trip to St. John. The rest of it would be in the market. And MRA's was a big store in those days, and shopping in that store. It's when you're a teenager in the early teens, you can't remember everything, but your life's so full. But I can remember that those times. I can remember Dad on one trip going to St. John, going down the Clonus Road. There was a patch of ice up ahead of us. The road was bare. It was getting after winter, I guess. We're making an extra trip. And poor Dad put his foot in the brakes, and he landed this right in the woods on top of a stump. And he was so upset. He wanted to turn around and go home. There was a couple of people in the woods cutting pulp. I think it was Ross Howe and Purse Howe, old neighbors. And they got us out and on the road again. Dad was bound to go home. I said, Dad, everything's fine. Let's go on. Just take our time. We're okay. And so he went on. It's just so... little upsetting things happen in life like that sometimes can change the day. But we had a good trip to St. John back. We used to go down to St. John for dentist work because there was no dentist handy. That was another special need. And the sad part for many families, when the dentist work is not good, teeth get bad and you have to get false teeth. And that was a sad thing in the Army camp area for dentist work. was very low key. You couldn't expect the doctor. All he could do was pull them.
Yes.
You know. There was no fillings and saving them. And that was a sad thing. A lot of people had false teeth. And so, outside of that, everything else, I think, in the Army camp area, the health, the care, the love, support, everything was positive. Everything was tremendous, because you can't measure the quality of life, only what you have in love and support from people. And that's to me, is beyond all reasoning.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm just thinking of this car going down to St. John, and it's got probably six people in it.
That's right.
And if it's one trip of... maybe two in a whole year. Yeah. It must have been packed.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Coming home.
Yeah, it was. The trunk would be full, yeah. Yeah, the trunk was full, yeah. Everybody had their... usually what happened, everybody had got something. Everybody got either boots or new pants, new shirt, new outfits, new dresses or something. The girls did, yeah. Mom would save up and her money, and Dad would save some too. Didn't have a lot, but we had enough to get something new. And that kept us... That was our treat, and that was our outing, and we were satisfied with that, you know. that was good. We thought that was a sacrifice. I think that's one thing I remember about Mom and Dad sacrificing so that us kids could have something a little special. They wouldn't get anything for themselves, of course.
Probably so, just seeing the kids happy.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah, for sure. No.
What about names of neighbors now around where you lived?
Across the street, across the creek, there was a Lasky family moved in. Clyde Lasky and Annie moved in. That was the old Woods place originally. And that was a neighbor directly across, and they used to help us a little bit with the haying season.
But then the Laskys have spelled their name Lasquie.
No, Laskey. Okay. That's Lasky was. There was Doug Lasky, was the oldest. He was in the Army. Mm-hmm. And there was Joe, and there was James, and Vincent, and Donald. Yeah. Then next farm over to that was Austin and Ori Armstrong. They had a yellow house. And Marion was their daughter, and Harold, and Winston. And then uphill was, next hoop was the Coopers. It would be Headley and Ethel Cooper lived there. And then that was sort of the end of the Armstrong's Corner School District. From there on up, people went to Coot Hill School.
Mm-hmm.
And down our way, the nearest neighbor to us on the back road where we lived was Petty's first. Frank Petty and Martha lived there when I was young, and then they sold the property, and Lyons moved in there, Hazel and Clifford Lyons. Yeah. Yeah. But the people didn't move that much, really. Most people that lived there all their lives. There was very little movement in and out. It was kind of a close-knit community.
It must have been unusual then to experience a new family the area.
Yeah, it was, but they fit it in soon. People were very friendly. They would fit in soon, and neighbors' kids would play with neighbors' kids and so forth and go to school and so forth. So it wasn't long before they felt right at home. Some communities you move into, you feel like an outsider for a long time, but I think there everybody felt home at home mm-hmm. soon. They were included mm-hmm. in whatever events were going on in the community, and whether it was ladies' aid sewing or whatever was going on at night.
Do you recall when you were growing up there being a swimming hole or a fishing hole?
Yeah, on our interval there was the narrow piece. There was a swimming hole that we used to play a lot by the narrow piece. It was in the spring of the year, it was really rough. It would freshet it, but then it would calm down in the summertime, and you could cross it with a team of horses, or you could put a footbridge up. And down below that little farther, there was a swimming hole that used to be, we used to have to dive off the rocks and in swimming. I have a picture of Dad walking around in there with a towel on because he didn't have a bathing suit, I guess, in those days, squin wading. And we'd throw water on him, of course, and give us a hard time. And swimming was we both learned to swim there, I think my sister and I, because we just kept at it. Didn't know how to swim at first, but we just kept at it and taught each other, I guess. And we surprised ourselves by just keeping at it. That was some of the joy. In the wintertime, there'd be ponds on the interval. You just go down there and play hockey. Our boots would be the hockey goals, you know, and mm-hmm. just play around. Mm-hmm. It was fun. It was very cold in the winter.
Yeah.
You just light a bonfire at the end of the ice.
Yes.
That was kind of special.
Now, what year were you married?
I was married in 1959.
And who was your wife?
My wife was Norma. She was Norma Raymond from Hampton. She was an RN.
And you said you had four children?
Four children, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, can we get the names of the
Susan,
children?
Susan's the oldest.
And when Susan had been born?
Susan was born a year later, yeah. She'll be she's
so 1960.
August 1960. Yeah.
All right, yeah. And after her,
there was Tom was the next one. That's her son Tom. He's named after his grandfather Woods.
Oh yes, yeah. Thomas.
Mm-hmm. And his middle name is Raymond, which takes in my middle name plus Norma's maiden name.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Sharon's the next one. Sharon Lee.
I'm gonna go back to Tom. When was he born?
Tom was born. he's 36.
He's 36 now.
I'd say so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he was born about 62.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
About 2 years younger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now your third one?
Sharon, yeah. She'll be 33 tomorrow.
Oh, she was born in 65.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Cindy, she's 30. That's the last one.
Mm, she was born in 68.
Yeah, we just came back from Cindy's. I was very privileged to baptize her. Who knew, baby? Joshua Douglas.
Oh,
of course,
goodness.
That's a good name, isn't it?
Well, I guess. You can see through both family lines how the names have really evolved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Cindy's middle name is Cynthia Grace, which is Norma's mother's name.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So names are important to families, as you know, and they kind of, the history lives on through each one.
Well, it seems that, especially particularly the population from that area, maybe this was the one way that the heritage could be solidified and continued.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think that's very true, yeah.
Yeah. So you have a song now. Tell me a bit about the song evolved.
I guess way back about 1953 was the Army camp year. So 1983, Marion Patterson and my cousin Verna Arnold and myself got together and said, it's 30 years since the Army camp has gone through. Maybe we should do something. So we worked in cooperation with the folks at the Orange Hall at Hampstead, Queenstown area.
Queenstown, right.
Yeah, and they always have a picnic. So we asked them if we could piggyback on that and have a sort of a reunion in the middle of the afternoon. And so we had people come, and we gave prizes out to the oldest person who was there and the youngest one who was there, and recognized the one from the farthest away. We did those things. And then Clark was there, and he sang some pieces. And my family and I sang, or I made up a song in memory of my father who had died at the time. Mom was still living, and my daughter and kids sang this. And it's kind of a song that could be updated by, like I said, it's saying 30 years ago, it's 45 years ago this year. So if you'd like me to...
Oh, yes, quote, I would.
Would you? Okay. The year was 1953, some 45 years ago. The word came down from Ottawa that all of us must go. The news was hard to understand, all the reasons why, that these rolling hills and fertile land the feds did want to buy. We sing this song to celebrate our heritage so fine, the living of a people who touched your life and mine. They farmed the land so beautiful, they cut the wood so green. Today we all remember them, just like a special dream. Our family roots are special, they taught us how to care. From the Nerepis River to Gatestown, a lot of memories there. From Jerusalem Hills to Clonus, the winding roads unfold, the life's adventure of a special group that really must be told. The homes that rimmed the countryside, so fair and oh so strong, those white country churches of spirits high, their warmth helped us belong. The sewing bees, the thrashing crews, the picnics and the dance tell a story of a little world filled with love and old romance. These families now are scattered all across the land, but never too far away, my friend, if you need a hand. Whenever there's an anniversary due or a loved one gone above, these circle of friends from all around come to share their love. This song is a memorial to a faithful kind of folk who had a vision of God and man and to their task did yoke. The youth today are called to mind their family tree's creation and the remembrance of a land and people with pride and adoration. So I wrote that in memory of Dad, Thomas
Wood. Wow. Well, that is lovely.
Would you like to have a copy of it?
Yeah, I would love to have a copy of it. Great. Okay, now if you were to pick one memory of growing up in the Armstrong Corner area, I know there's an awful lot. If there was one memory that just automatically comes to mind, is there one?
Well, I think if I was to sort of say it this way, I think, because I left there, I was 18 when I left, so your teenage years and your growing up years are so important. And I guess the strength of home and family and community and church and support make you what you are. You know, your parents are always there. Once in a while you did a few bad things, but not too many. But the family was always there for you, to forgive you and support you and to love you and to nurture you. And I guess I feel sad for so many teenagers today that get off on the wrong tracks of life and get themselves messed up in trouble and heartache and so forth. But the family home, I would say, was so special and so strong and so solid that it builds your foundation for life, really it does.
Yeah, it's so rare maybe to find that camaraderie.
Yeah, that's right. So right. I feel good about that, and I think that's why people are so proud to say who they are, because they're proud of their roots, they're proud of their heritage, they're proud of their togetherness and their spirit. I guess the spirit of the community.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Did I cover everything?
You covered.